Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, August 19th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Sitka Mountain Rescue led a pair of fog-bound hikers off of Lucky Chance Ridge early Friday morning. Eric Newman and Lacey Carnahan had spent Wednesday night at Salmon Lake Cabin, about 10 miles south of Sitka, and were planning to hike all day Thursday over the Lucky Chance Ridge to a kayak they had left in Silver Bay near the Green Lake Powerhouse. Newman spent 10 weeks in Sitka this summer as KCAW News intern. He's originally from Seattle, and both he and Carnahan were well prepared for an extended hike in the Alpine. But they did not count on the thick fog that rolled in on Thursday afternoon. As they made their way down the ridge, the pair became disoriented in the fog. When he realized that they had lost the route, Newman notified the Coast Guard on VHF radio that he was fogged in and would be overdue returning to Sitka. The Coast Guard in turn notified Sitka Mountain Rescue of the pair's situation. Mountain Rescue Captain Don Cluding was able to communicate with Newman via cell phone from the fire hall briefly before batteries in Newman's phone gave out. They arranged to make radio contact later in the evening if the fog had not lifted. Cluding says that Newman and Carnahan were well equipped to spend the night on the ridge with food, rain gear, and sleeping bags, but no tent. He encouraged them to put on their rain gear, find a relatively sheltered spot, and to wait out the night in their sleeping bags. With heavy fog still present the following morning, Sitka Mountain Rescue sent a team up the ridge at the end of Silver Bay at about 5 a.m. By 7:30, they made contact with the pair, signaling with air horns. Newman and Carnahan were escorted down the ridge and given a lift back to Sitka. Cluding says he appreciated how well prepared the pair were, and he commended them for bringing a radio and knowing when to use it. Newman told KCAW that he and Carnahan stayed fairly dry and that it was extremely reassuring to make contact with Cluding on the radio Thursday evening. He added that the route down the ridge was fairly easy to follow until the fog rolled in and then all bets were off. You can see a picture of Newman and Carnahan posing with the Sitka Mountain Rescue Team who assisted them on our website, kcaw.org. You'll also find links to several stories by Newman rather than about him. Sitka Schools Superintendent Steve Bradshaw is resigning. Bradshaw turned in his letter to the Sitka School Board at their regular meeting Thursday evening. His resignation will be effective at the end of the coming school year on June 30, 2014. Bradshaw had been superintendent in Sitka for 13 years. The average length of a superintendency in Alaska is 2.7 years. Prior to becoming superintendent, Bradshaw was principal of Sitka High School for 3 years. He also worked many years in both Metlakatla and his home state of Montana. Bradshaw says the key to his longevity in Sitka has been his bosses. He says he couldn't have asked for better people on the school boards he's worked for.
I've seen a lot of boards in my 38 years now that basically get on there because they got kind of an axe to grind or something like that. I haven't seen that here in Sitka. It's been about kids. It's not that there haven't been some people that have gotten on just because they think, well, that needs to change type of thing. But for the most part, they get on and they stay on for a while.
During his tenure, Bradshaw's seen the overall size of the district shrink by about 400 students, but he says he's also fortunate that the state funding has gradually ticked upwards. Nevertheless, he feels there's some work he's leaving unfinished in Sitka.
The dropout rate still bothers me. I don't like to lose kids. I kind of take that personally sometimes. That's a big issue.
And the dropout rate, according to Bradshaw, is not an isolated problem. It's linked to how prepared for school kids are, that he believes is linked to economics.
The number one factor is poverty. I think we see on the television, hear on the radio, reading the newspapers, whatever, the gap's widening. And I don't think people really understand. Last year, we had 30 homeless kids in the school district in Sitka, 30 homeless children. I believe in this country, we're losing our middle class. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying that's the reality that we're faced with.
Bradshaw also says he's surprised by the diversity in the district, by the number of languages spoken. But immigration, though through an overall positive for the community, comes with a downside.
parents are working two and three and four jobs just to survive. And so the time spent with children, it's not like it was when I was a kid where mom stayed home with the kids all the time. It's just not that way anymore.
Bradshaw has a combined 19 years in education, Alaska, and 19 years at teaching or administrative jobs in Montana. He says he's not retiring, but a new plan has not taken shape. He recently was one of 8 semifinalists for the job of Sitka Municipal Administrator. He didn't get that job, but that doesn't mean he won't stop thinking about a new direction.
I'm fascinated by the future. As been pointed out to me many times, I'm pretty passionate about education. I just may look at it in a different role. I just know that, you know, it was time for me to do something different. I really have no plan set forward. I now have a grandchild over in Juneau, so that may impact my wife and I's decision. But I think that, you know, whatever I do, I'm hoping that it has something to do with helping kids in some fashion.
Bradshaw's wife, Sandy, is a teacher at Kiku Shaheen Elementary School in Sitka. He says she'll retire when he leaves the district. One thing is for sure, Bradshaw is not going to become a commercial fisherman. He says, "I'm about the worst boatsman out there." A Southeast Alaska city has just been named the friendliest community for young families in the state. It's a designation assigned by an up-and-coming San Francisco-based consumer advocacy website. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has more.
Not long ago, Sally Dwyer was checking her email at the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce. She found an intriguing message. It said the Southeast city had been selected as the best town in Alaska for young families.
When I opened it, I went, how'd they find out that we're one of the best-kept secrets in Alaska? But then I realized that obviously they did their homework and discovered it on their own.
The recognition comes from a California website company called NerdWallet. It's one of those high-tech research firms that gives its employees catered lunches, happy hours, and company trips to cool places like Lake Tahoe. But mostly, it bills itself as a consumer website, providing independent comparisons of credit card charges, banking costs, hospital ratings, and so on.
We kind of go into all of the major decisions that you'll have to make, major financial decisions, and we just provide information that helps consumers make better informed decisions.
That's Divya Raghavan, a NerdWallet analyst. She says Petersburg hit number one for its ratings on 3 key factors. One is schools, no surprise there, with the town hitting 9 out of 10 items on NerdWallet's educational checklist. Another is growth, including population and the economy. The third just might surprise you if you've been to a grocery store lately. It's affordability.
So we looked at the median home cost and like monthly owner cost, and Petersburg as well is like pretty affordable for the average family compared to other towns in Alaska.
I think people would be a little surprised to hear it's considered affordable.
Yeah, I mean, Alaska is notoriously expensive.
Raghavan says the ratings are based on a model using U.S. Census Bureau information, but there's a human hand in there, too.
These definitely aren't due to chance. They're due to very conscious decisions that the residents of these cities and the governments make.
Back at Petersburg's Chamber of Commerce, Sally Dwyer hopes that's true. She's going to bring the best of rating up with her board, and she already is thinking about plans.
And I'm hoping that we can use it with our marketing tools. When people want relocation information, that we can send them this clip and say, you know, this is what quite a large number of people think about our town.
Young Alaska Families isn't the only list Alaska's Little Norway tops. Petersburg is the highest vote-getter in a yachting magazine Facebook poll. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from the number one city for young Alaska families and maybe for yachts. How about young Alaska families on yachts? Oh, never mind.
Last week, despite the sunshine, a dense fog blanketed the waters outside of Wrangell every morning. For meteorologists, it's not really just a fog, but something called a marine layer. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver turned to science of meteorology to find out why this phenomenon was so common this summer.
This is Brian Besnick. I am a lead forecaster with the National Weather Service in Juneau. Brian Besnick says he's wanted to be a weather forecaster since he was a kid.
I jokingly tell my sisters that I got my two forecasts right. When I was still going through high school, even younger, I told my one sister it was going to hail on her birthday, and it did. And then I told my next sister just after the hailstorm that she was going to get a blizzard on hers, and she got the blizzard. I've been aiming to be right since then.
He says that along with being fascinating, it's an important job.
Up here in Alaska, we've got a lot of weather-savvy people, but they still count on us to tell them when the really dangerous conditions are.
Besnick says his office is getting a lot of questions about the hot weather we've been having in Southeast this summer.
Over the last 10 or 12 years, where there's only been a couple of years where the summer has been this nice with the warmth and the extended dry coming with it.
He says forecasters are comparing it to the summer of 2004, which had similar conditions. When Besnick looks at weather, he sees understandable patterns. That's unlike many of us who just see extra tough days and bathing suit days. But this summer even has forecasters doing a bit of a double take.
Don't want to necessarily say it's unusual, but it sort of is that we've had the weather patterns that have persisted for weeks on end.
Now to the marine layer. Think about the water of the inside passage and the air above it. A marine layer happens when the warm outer shell of an air mass is cooled by the chilly air coming off the water. Warm air rises and cold air sinks, so the rest of the warm air traps the cooled layer beneath it. In a nutshell, that's why marine layers appear thick and stuck on the water.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Now here's a look at Sitka's own weather. Today it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers, highs around 60. Tonight, cloudy with scattered showers, lows around 51. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.